Hey, from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Hello, Darren Patterson.
Hello, how are you, sir? Getting all ready for Thanksgiving, sir. It's that time of the year. The autumn leaves are falling to the ground, and the air is awaft with pumpkins and turkey.
Yes.
I come out here with all this beautiful poetry, just right off the top of the dome, and that's all you got from me, man?
Yeah, I got nothing. I don't know. I mean, we were talking a little about our Thanksgiving plans before we started recording, and I don't have big plans because I don't have like family in the area, so it's not, you know, and it's not very practical to travel for just like a 1 day holiday.
Yeah, I hear you. But yeah, I mean, it's always a lot of. There are restaurants open on Thanksgiving Day. And like, as I get older, I feel like that's more and more the way to go. Yeah. I know mm-hmm. people say like, oh, you missed that, that home family touch of not, you know, when you go to a restaurant, because it's not a home cooked meal and all that stuff. But like, I don't know. It's more practical. You just go into a restaurant, you know what you want, you order it, you pay for it, and you bounce. No cleanup, no fuss, no muss, no worries.
That is how restaurants work, yes.
Yeah, right?
Unlike every day. Not just Thanksgiving. Every day.
Did I just explain how restaurants work?
You did. You just mansplained restaurants.
Listeners, I'm going to hip you to some news. Now, there's this thing called restaurants.
Right. Okay. With you so far. Yes.
You can Google it. Look it up.
Okay.
Yeah. You go in there.
All right.
You order, like, what you want to like eat.
Okay.
And then they give it to you.
Do they give you like a list of stuff that you could potentially eat there at the restaurant?
Jot this down. They call it a menu.
A menu. Okay.
Yeah.
Menu.
And like, and you order off of this menu.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, some guy or gal or they or them, they come up to you. I believe they're called a waiter. Mm-hmm. And you tell them what you want to eat. Wait a few minutes, and mm-hmm. then they bring it to you, and then you eat the food.
Is this a free service that they offer?
Look, I don't know. You have to pay. I mean, it can be free if you're quick on your feet.
Right.
But
okay.
for the most part, no, you have to pay like money. Like, I don't know why more people aren't talking about these
money.
Things.
Money.
Like,
okay. All
yes,
right.
that's the caveat. That's the.
There's always a catch.
That's the catch. You have to pay them for this service.
You know what I don't care for is, like, these days when you go into a restaurant and they're like, oh, we don't have physical menus. You have to, like, download our app and look. And I'm like, just give me a freaking menu.
Yeah.
I don't want to download an app to, like, just because I'm eating at your restaurant. That's such a drag.
It is. It's like, I mean, in a way I get it because I guess you're saving off of money for printing out menus and... We're in this world now where literally everybody has a phone or some type of device on them.
Yeah.
At all times, 24/7.
It's convenient for the restaurant. Yeah, I get that. But it's not convenient for the customers. I don't need a whole nother app.
Yeah. Or like, what if my phone is out of batteries? What if it's dead? Like,
exactly.
Then how am I going to give you money to order food from your restaurant? Like, come on. I mean, they must have a backup menu somewhere on paper just in case of things like an analog version. Give me the analog version of this menu, sir.
Yes.
Or Matt.
Yes. Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You know what I hate? I'm starting to realize we sound like crabby old.
Yeah, we are getting kind of Handy Rooney, I guess. Yeah. But
why is it so dark in those restaurants? Just candlelight. I can't see. It's ridiculous.
You see, kids, Andy Rooney was this old guy at the end of 60 Minutes who would just come on in the last 5 minutes or so and just bitch about stuff. This was his job.
It's just now dawning on me, like, oh yeah, maybe everybody doesn't know about Andy Rooney because everybody is like younger.
I'm pretty sure Andy Rooney has been dead for quite some time.
So
let me see. He died in 2011. So,
all right.
All right. So actually, he was still alive when the movie we're covering this week was released. This movie we're covering this week, Easy A, it came out in 2010. Andy Rooney died November 4th, 2011. Rest in peace, sir.
Yes. Rest in power. He was alive to see this movie.
He was alive to see this movie, and I bet he complained about it if he saw it.
This girl gets on a webcast. What's that?
Oh, my God. He made it to 92. Wow.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Respect.
And he was on 60 Minutes until October 2nd, 2011, a month before he died. My God.
Wow.
That's a lot of petty grievances. I'm just saying.
He went out like a G. He died doing what he loved, complaining.
Oh, what? Holy shit. He died in a drive-by shooting. What the hell?
What?
Andy Rooney was gangster.
Oh, my God. What are the triads?
Yes. Yes. He had a long-standing feud with the Crips and the Bloods. What the? Oh, my goodness.
Shockingly enough, it was the Latin Kings that took him out. Who knew? Twist! Who saw that coming?
And he did a posthumous song with Tupac. What?
Oh my God. He had a teardrop tattoo. Wow. Wow. This is fascinating. Andy Rooney, who knew?
Oh no, there's a section on his Wikipedia page that says that's comments on same-sex unions. You know that's not going to be good.
Oh boy, let's...
Remarks on Kurt Cobain's suicide. Oh no. Oh no.
All right, time to talk about the movie. Easy.
Yeah. Oh, and above that, comments on race. It's a whole section called controversies.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Add two, Andy Rooney. Add two.
Oh dear. Why? They get their very own water fountain. Why are they complaining? I don't understand. Wow, you're right.
Yeah. I just that amused and surprised me. B, it amused me all the more because I was like, that's a joke I could never say. So I had a real Seth Meyers joke Seth can't tell moment.
Yay.
Black women and lesbians are liars.
I'm the new Amber Ruffin. But yeah, Easy A. That's the film we're talking about. Came out September 17th, 2010. Written by Burt V. Royal. Sure. Directed by Will Gluck. Same man that did Friends with Benefits with Justin Timberlake and... the other Ashton Kutcher's wife, who's Mila Kunis. There we go.
Yeah, and also the recent movie Anyone But You. With Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell, which I saw like just a few months back and absolutely hated. So
yeah, that's like the third time we mentioned this movie on this podcast.
I know. Yeah, well, because Glenn Powell just hosted SNL recently, and when I looked up Easy A on Wikipedia, I was like, oh, holy shit, it's the same director as Anyone But You.
Yeah. So this film had a budget of $8 million, gross $75 million, which is weird. I remember this film. I thought this film was kind of like a sleeper hit, but it seems to have made money. It made like 9 times its budget back, so it was financially did very well.
I mean, this was kind of Emma Stone's breakout role. I mean, she'd been in movies before this. I mean, I first saw her in Superbad. It's one of the women that. Well, the woman that Joni Hill in particular was after.
Right.
And, you know, I thought she was really good in that. And and I didn't see this movie in the theaters then. I think I must have caught it on TV or something after. I don't remember ever, like, renting it or anything.
So. Yes. I don't remember if I think I saw this in the theaters, but I most likely I probably rented it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. But, like, I do remember... liking it quite a bit. But yeah, I feel like this is the film where people were like, oh, she has it. She can carry a movie.
Right.
Because like you definitely see this in the film. She definitely shines. She definitely has the it factor. And like you definitely see in a lot of scenes here and like the way she's charming, but can also be dramatic.
She's got that charisma. She knows her way around a joke. She's just delightful. You just enjoy watching her.
Yeah, like once you watch this movie, it's like, oh, she's a star.
Yeah.
She's an absolute star.
She's had like pretty great choices of material since then. Yeah. I haven't seen any. I know she's done a bunch of movies with like this director whose name I'm blanking on, who's like a.
Oh, Yorgos Lanthimos.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. And I haven't seen any of those movies yet, but I hear nothing but good things about them. And so I'm sure they're wonderful. I just have to catch up.
Yeah. Like it's weird. Her, I'm not weird, but it's interesting her trajectory. Cause like, yeah, she kind of started off with doing a lot of comedies, like you said, like Superbad and this movie, you know, you could say like Zombieland. And, but then she also did like, you know, kind of, like Oscar baity movies, like, you know, of course, La La Land and whatnot. But like, I mean, this was sort of her breakout role.
This was like kind of the one that proved that was like a breakout role for her, proved she could carry a movie and open a movie. And
yeah,
and I think she's had really great choices of material since. I mean, she's done very well.
Yeah. Then after that, that's when she got like, you know, Crazy Stupid Love and The Help, of course, Amazing mm-hmm. Spider-Man. Yeah. Like she just kind of kept on leveling up, and you know, then she started getting like kind of more Oscar baity type of stuff, like, well, I mean, there was a whole thing with Aloha mm-hmm. and La La Land and whatnot, and yeah, then she started getting into like really kind of now she's like more into like kind of almost art house avant-garde type of films, like, you know, The Favorite mm-hmm. and the one that's out now, Begonia, and what's that, Kinds of Kindness. Poor Things was like a big one for her. Just like a lot of really mm-hmm. kind of out there films. Like she's really, and recently she was in that movie Eddington, which was like a Ari Aster flick. So she's really been like stretching her, I guess her acting chops and really kind of pushing them to the limit lately.
You're just like listing all those movies. It makes me realize like how behind I am on all my movies. Like I haven't seen. Emma Thompson's movies, or Emma Stone or Emma Thompson, any of the Emmas. I'm behind on all my Emmas. It's,
yeah. Oops, all Emmas.
Yes.
But yeah, like, I mean, she was also really good in Birdman, which is a film I really liked, but you know, that was a while ago.
Birdman really blew me away when I first saw it, and I need to watch it again. It's been a few, I don't think I've seen that since it was out in theaters, and I'd like to watch it again and see how it holds up.
It's it's good stuff. I mean, it's been a minute since I've seen it too, but yeah, like the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, here we go. I mean, she's not in it a ton, but when she's in it, she is like, she's locked in. Again, she really has that star quality, and I feel like that did mm-hmm. all begin with Easy A, this film right here.
Yeah. Good SNL host too.
Yeah. In a different timeline, in a different universe, she could have been a cast member. I think she's mm-hmm. she's as strong as some of the cast members there. And if not, maybe sometimes a little stronger, I feel like.
Yeah. And she's also married to a fellow from SNL that she met through the show.
Yes, she's married to one of Dave McGarry. Dave McGarry, yes, one of the directors, who I think is good friends with Kyle. I think Dave McGarry is part of the Good Neighbor collective of Kyle, Beck, and now him. And yeah, I think Kyle and him grew up together as like kids or something.
Got it. So, wow, yeah. They've been married for 5 years already. Oh my goodness. Well, you learn so much on the Wikipedia.
Time flies, sir. Time flies. Mm.
So anyway, Easy A. So this is one we'd both seen before. We're revisiting it for the podcast. It takes place in Ojai, California.
Yep.
Emma Stone plays Olive Pendergast.
What a name.
They point out in the movie that Olive is an anagram for I love.
Yeah.
And Pendergast, I read this on the IMDb trivia, Pendergast is an anagram for pretend shag.
What?
Yeah, so that plays into the plot of the movie because she's pretending to shag a lot of people.
Clever.
But real life, not so much.
Clever writer. Clever. Yep. You know, a writer came up with that and was like, yo, that's wild, son. I'm going to put that in there.
They were like, pat myself on the back. I'm gonna take off early today. I'm going to treat myself to a caramel macchiato.
Yeah, I did it.
I did it.
I'm going to make it.
So Olive Pendergast, she is, she's just like trying to get through high school. She's kind of overlooked. She's one of those like invisible high school people. Yeah. I know. It's Emma Stone. We'll just go with it. Movie says that she's like ignored in high school. And I'm like, Emma Stone, is it being ignored in high school? Okay.
I mean, right. It is, I don't know. I wouldn't say it is California, and I guess
there it are, is. Yeah, that's true. There are a larger than average number of extraordinarily attractive people in California. But
yeah,
Emma Stone is a delight. I mean,
I don't know. If it was like, yeah, I see what you mean.
You notice her wherever she goes.
I hear you. And and then we see that Olive has a friend, Rhiannon, mm-hmm. who is, a bit of. A good time Sally, as they say.
I guess. She also has, these nudist hippie parents. They show, Olive having, dinner at her friend's house. And, yeah, I was like, I'd forgotten the nudist hippie parents.
So basically one day, Rhiannon wants, Olive to come camping with them. And Olive mm-hmm. really doesn't want to do it, so she lies. Right. And says, I actually have a date with a boy. He was like,
a college man. Yeah.
And, of course, she doesn't have a date with a college boy. She spends the whole weekend at home. And she gets a birthday card that that has some money in it from her grandma. And it plays that song Pocket Full of Sunshine by Natasha Bedingfield. And the first time she hears the song, it's like, oh, the song's horrible.
Yeah.
But the joke is by the end of the weekend, she actually loves it.
Yeah, they do like a montage of her over the weekend, and it's just like gradually going on her. And by the end, she's like singing it in the shower. I got a couple of sunshine. I don't know the lyrics, but it is a catchy song.
Yeah, and they have a running gag because like in the movie, that actually becomes her new ringtone.
Yes.
So yeah, I was like, all right, that's clever. I see what you did there.
Yeah, I remember that. So as sort of an excuse She spent the entire weekend at home alone, just singing the song and doing that. It's like that John Mulaney routine. It's like, what'd you do this weekend? I did nothing. And just light up. She tells Rhiannon that she lost her V card to this college fellow. I think she says his name is George.
Yeah, which it's not the sexiest of names, but yeah, it's George.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for any George watching this movie because they talk about how George is not a sexy name.
Yeah, George Clooney's got to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, George Clooney watching this movie in 2010. He's like, what the hell? I've been the sexiest man alive.
Come on. I've been carrying the good name of George. I've been trying to make George sexy for decades now.
And succeeding, would
say. Succeeding, successfully.
Yeah.
It's just me.
Yeah. So she tells her friend, she thinks that's it. And, but the rumor mill being what it is, it starts spreading all around the school like wildfire, I say. Yeah,
because, and she tells her in the bathroom that she lost her V card. She said she mainly did it just to feel a little, just because Rhiannon just kept pressuring her because Rhiannon thought she did. And mm-hmm. a little part of her wanted to feel like superior to Rhiannon, like on her level, because Rhiannon is kind of, like I said, known as a good time Sally, as they say. And in the bathroom, Marianne overhears. Marianne, played by Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, who is Marianne Bryant.
Yeah, who's like this super Christian student, believes in, Jesus and saving yourself. And she's still...
Saving yourself in every sense of the phrase, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And
saving yourself for heaven and saving yourself for marriage, yes.
Yeah, and she's one of these people that use their Christianity to sort of feel superior to everybody else. And, so once she overhears that Olive lost her, quote-unquote, her virginity, which she did not, she spreads the word that, she's a harlot. She's out here giving it out to, mm-hmm. to boys.
Yeah, she's easy, as they would say. Yes.
Hey.
Yes. Yeah. Hence the title. And let's see who else we got here. We got Thomas Hayden Church as Mr. Griffith, her cool teacher who's teaching them the Scarlet Letter.
Yeah. All the adults in this movie are like cool hip versions of.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll get to it. But Olive's parents, they seem way cooler than they're like the coolest parents ever.
They're super cool, and they like trust their daughter and they're like super understanding. And yeah, it's cool. And it's Stanley Tucci and Patricia Clarkson. So, you know, they're awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like
Stanley. I kind of want to be adopted by them.
Me too. I was like, Where do I fill out the paperwork? Stanley Tucci, just making quips in a kitchen with a stylish button-down t-shirt.
Yes, yes. And she has like a little brother who's like this adorable African-American child. And at one point, they like just mention offhanded that he's adopted. And Stanley Tucci just goes, "What? Who told you?" Oh! It's so damn funny.
Cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, you know... I mean, he and Patricia Clarkson just seem to be having the time of their life in this movie.
They are.
And also, I'd totally forgotten Malcolm McDowell was in this movie. McDowell is the principal of the high school.
That did surprise me.
I was like, yeah. I mean, holy crap. I mean, you know, who isn't overjoyed to see Malcolm McDowell in a movie?
Exactly. Really. Alex and his droogs.
Yeah, he makes every movie better.
Absolutely. So, so the word spreads around the school that Olive, gives it out. Mm-hmm. And, that causes Olive to think about how, people didn't really look at her before. But, like, now that the word got out, like, suddenly guys are like, hey, what's going on there?
She's stereotyped as a bimbo in the school.
Yeah. And, of course, like, the women or the girls kind of, judge her and look at her judgingly. Mm-hmm. And then she has a flashback where she thinks back to, like, how, like, that never happened for her. Like, she thinks back to eighth grade when she did the 7 minutes in heaven thing in a room with this kid named Todd that she had a crush on. Mm-hmm. And, Todd was too nervous to kiss her, as boys are wont to do. And he says, like, is it okay if I just, like, kind of tell everybody that I kissed you? Because, like, kissing girls is, oh, my God, I can't. It's so weird. Yeah. I don't want to do it. And of course, she says okay. So, like, that's how that's how the quote unquote first kiss between them went down.
Yes. And Todd like pops up periodically throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. He grows up, and by high school he's the school mascot. And the school used to be the Blue Devils, but the Christian faction of the students, they protested that because of, devil.
Yeah.
And so now they are the Woodchucks. And so he's running around school in a woodchuck outfit.
Yeah. The devil, how are the woodchucks supposed to scare fear into the heart of your opponents? It doesn't.
But, the Blue Devil, they might have gotten a cease and desist from DC Comics. So.
Oh.
That's one for all the comic geeks out there.
I'm going to pretend to understand that reference.
Yeah, there's a DC character called the Blue Devil.
See, I know there's like a NCAA team in Duke called the Blue Devils. I thought you would have.
Know about that. I don't. I was an indoor kid. I was reading Blue Devil. It was Dan Cassidy, Hollywood stuntman who gets stuck inside a supersuit of his own making.
Oh,
he's like fighting a demon. The demon like blasts him, and then the suit is like fused to him.
Oh my God!
But he can do all the super stuff in the meantime. So.
Oh wow! So it's like, what's it like? It sounds a little bit like, I want to say Ghost Rider, but it.
It's not quite like a demonic curse. He doesn't. Well, actually, I was about to say he doesn't sell his soul, but he does sell his soul later on.
So it is Ghost Rider.
It becomes more, but the first run of the book, it was so much fun because it had this tongue-in-cheek quality to it, and they've never really recaptured that since the 80s, which is a shame, yes. But fun character.
It's, yes.
Dan Mishkin, Gary Kahn, and... Paris Cullins was the artist, who's a heck of a nice guy.
Oh, very nice.
He's lovely. I met him at Comic Cons. Yeah,
fantastic. All right, well, book artist. Let's get back to including the devil into our works.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Blue Devil worth scounging in the back issue bins for.
Absolutely, hail Satan.
Yes.
So back at school. So everybody's. The word's around that she's a bit of a Jezebel, and I'm going to try to use all the old-timey Whereas I can't.
Please do. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Let's
check them off as you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So in class one day, one of the Christian girls, Nina, calls her a skank in class because they're learning about the Scarlet Letter. And it's like, oh, maybe you should wear a Scarlet Letter on you. Olive retorts by calling her an abominable twat. And gets sent to the principal office.
Yeah.
Where we see, like,
you're going to go see Malcolm McDowell.
No. So of course, you know, principal is surprised to see her here because she's never in trouble. But he gives her detention, you know, saying we can't have this here. You know, this is a public school. If I can keep the girls off the pole and the boys off the pipe, I get a bonus.
Good line. Also liked later on, Olive is talking to her friend Rhiannon, and Rhiannon, because like the rumor mill has like sort of circulated all around the school and has reached back Rhiannon. Rhiannon's like, so you called her like, and it's a way worse name. And he's like, and you punched her in the left tit. and Olive has a line. She just goes, I worry about the way information circulates at this school. And Emma Stone, the way she delivers that line, I literally laughed out loud at that. And she she tossed that off beautifully. Yeah.
It's a good line. And really good at comedy. Like, I mean, it can't be overstated. Like how
she is. She's excellent at comedy. She's, I have trouble believing that no one in this school wants to date Emma Stone, but
I'll go along with this little ruse of yours, movie.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a movie. Most people in movies are like more attractive than most anyone you meet in the entirety of your life, and that's just how it is.
Here.
So Olive gets sent to detention, but because of budget cuts, it's not really detention. She has to clean the school with another student who is being punished because he got into a fight, and it's Brandon.
Yes, Brandon.
He's played by Dan Bird from Cougar Town.
Yes, that is who I thought it was. That is him. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I haven't seen him in anything in ages. I assume he's still working. I assume he's still acting. I just have lost track of him. But yeah, I always liked Dan Bird in Cougar Town in particular. Cougar Town, underrated show.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those shows where, yeah, people didn't give it a chance because the title of the show kind of, I don't say it's off-putting, but like they did that thing where they used like a hip new slang term and just named it that so people didn't take it seriously. Like, I feel like they did the same thing with that. Remember that TV show Selfie? Like, do you remember that at all?
Because it was, I guess it wasn't long after the term cougar came to prominence. And yeah, and they very quickly realized and acknowledged that it was a bad title, but it's not as easy to change titles of TV shows as it used to be.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
So, yeah, because, you know, there's all this social media stuff and stuff. So they made it into a joke about what a horrible title it was. And they'd literally have a thing on the title card every week talking about how it was a horrible title and they couldn't change it.
I respect that.
I like that. But Cougar Town, I have no idea where it's streaming right now, but it was created by Bill Lawrence, who did Scrubs and Spin City and Ted Lasso. So, I mean, come on. And it's got Courtney Cox.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
And Busy Phillips.
Busy. It got Busy in it. Get Busy.
But, Cougar Town. Great show. Check it out. From Bill Lawrence, creator of Scrubs and Spin City and Ted Lasso. And it's quality television. Courtney Cox.
Yeah, Cougar Town. Give it a look.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good stuff. Okay.
Right. So, in this one, he plays Brandon, who, we find out that he was in detention because he got into a fight.
Yes.
Because, you know, he's, a lot of people are giving him guff because he is a, uh, he is a gay person. He's a gay boy.
I'm so glad that sentence ended with person. If you just said he's a gay, that would be. That wouldn't sound good.
Come on, John. I'm an ally. I would never.
He's a gay.
He's one of them gay. No.
Yeah, and he's having a tough time in high school. I thought we were a little more progressive than this in 2010, but maybe this is something we're doing for the sake of the movie. You know, especially in California, you'd think people would be cool with that, but I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I know some parts of Cali are pretty rather conservative and kind of red. So, I mean, I don't know. Oh, I know. I looked up Ojai, and it's like about an hour and a half away from L.A.
Right.
So I would assume it's liberalish, but I don't.
I don't know. I don't know what the experience of young gay people is or was in 2010. So
yeah.
So I don't know if this is reflective of what they were actually going through, or if we're just kind of pretending it's worse than it was for the movie. Anyway, he's having a tough time.
He is. I mean, I'm assuming this is tough because, like, the writer of this film, Bert V. Royal, he is a gay man, and he did say that the
character. So glad that Sam Sender with man.
Yes. Yeah, I'm learning. Yeah. Those HR classes are helping.
So
he does say that the character of Brandon is based off of him. And
okay. So yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times when screenwriters are writing like these high school movies, they're like kind of reaching back to what their high school experience was. So they may be reaching back like 10, 15 years before. So yeah, the social dynamics may be a little out of date. Maybe that's what we're seeing here. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very much so. But yeah, so so the two of them bond while they, clean the school, which I feel like a custodian should be doing that, but
yeah. I mean, they call it out in the movie. He's like, "Isn't this child labor?" And she's like, "No, it's school, so it's legal." And they bond a bit, and she confesses that she made up the guy that she slept with, that she supposedly slept with, and he's like, "Oh, so you're not even a real slut." And she tells Brandon to like just act straight to kind of get through high school until he gets to like a more progressive place like college.
Right. Yeah, of course. That's when everything is great. Yeah. But then after they're done cleaning the school, then Brandon goes to Oliver's house and asks her.
Olives.
What is that?
You said Oliver.
Oh, boy. Wow.
That was Freudian slip there.
Freudian slip. She asked her to pretend to be basically his beard, you know.
Yes. They don't use that term, but he says, "Yeah, would you pretend to be my girlfriend?" Because he's like, "Yeah,
yeah,
you know." Because he's like, "Yeah, I know it's going to get better in the future, but I'm still in this hellish experience now, and I need it to get better now."
Yeah. At first, Olive, you know, is hesitant to do it because, you know, as she says, he is a Kinsey 6 gay, which I had to look up. But after seeing like how his life really is kind of a struggle to get through and like, like he said, I don't know what I'm going to do if it keeps like this. She finds it in her heart to be like, all right, I'll pretend to be your.
And she says at one point, she's like, how do you know I like to be thought of as a floozy? And he says, because at least you're being thought of. And she was kind of invisible before, but now she has like an identity in high school. And I guess it's better to have some identity, even if it's like a bad one, like a floozy.
Yeah. Like we see that Olive is enjoying the new notoriety and fame that is coming with being known as the town strumpet.
Right.
Another word.
She's a town bicycle. Everyone's had a ride.
Yeah, baby.
So they make a deal. He's going to like pay her money. He's going to like pay her in gift cards. And they go to Melody's party together. Melody is like one of the popular girls in the school. And Olive says, well, hey, you know, well, I'll do this, but just make sure you're ready to live with the consequences. So they go to the party. They pretend that they're drunk. They go right up to Melody's bedroom.
Yeah.
And they're just in there, and they make sex noises and jump on the bed.
Oh, yeah.
And I like how she's like, okay, are you ready for the grand finale? And she like just punches him in the gut, and he goes like, oh!
Oh, did she punch him in the gut or the nards?
I'm not sure. I didn't rewind it. I thought she punched him in the gut, but maybe she punched him in the nards.
I thought it was the junk, but I could be wrong.
somewhere in the lower region, somewhere in hitting distance of his abdomen. Let's say that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, let's split the difference.
Okay, done and done.
Somewhere around the waistband, either above the waistband or below, you know?
Fair enough.
Darren thinks below because he's a perv, but...
Hey!
But I'm above that all, so I said it was in the stomach.
You're
cultured, and
you're the gentleman of the little duo here.
Let me just adjust my monocle while we talk.
You're the Felix Unger to my Oscar Madison. Is that what I'm learning here today?
This is what I'm saying. Yes.
Oscar.
So let's see what else we got.
So they hook up and of course everybody at the party is outside listening through the door, mm-hmm. listening to the moans and the groans and when they're done and Brandon leaves, all the dudes are like, you know, cool with them and giving them, hey, high five, bro.
Yeah,
you totally scored. Right. Radical.
Yeah.
And of course, as Olive leaves, she does the walk of shame and everybody's like,
Yeah, because, you know, if a guy has a lot of sex, he's cool, and he's a stud, and if a girl has a lot of sex, she's a trollop.
A trollop, a strumpet.
A strumpet, another good word.
That's yeah.
She's a floozy, she's a...
A Cyprian.
Whoa, I don't even know that one.
I have a list, of them right now.
She's a tramp.
That's
what they're saying.
That's why the lady is a tramp. And so Olive runs into Todd, you know, the handsome Penn Bagley, who is who was the kid that they wanted to kiss in 7 minutes back when they were in eighth grade, but they didn't. And now they're all grown up.
Right.
And they still, you know, they're still friendly, they have a nice moment, and
Yeah, he just like kind of periodically pops up in the movie just to kind of remind us, the audience, that he exists. So.
Yeah, I kind of wish they had more scenes together. They did work well together, but
it's like that. The love story there, it seems like a little arbitrary, I would say, but
I would say I don't know if it feels fully earned. But
yeah, there could have been some more development there, I suppose.
I would have liked that.
But Olive, because like there's all this gossip going around about her on the school, that, you know, she's this easy person, and so she decides I'm going to take a page out of Nathaniel Hawthorne's book and I'm going to lean into this. So she comes to school and she's like in a bustier with a letter A, a scarlet letter A on it,
right.
Pace on like the breast area.
Really, really leaning into it. And also she gets a call from her friend Rhiannon saying that, like, oh, how come you didn't tell me that you hooked up with Brandon? Everybody in school's talking about it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's calling you like a, you know, this dirty skank. And I guess mm-hmm. it's true. And like, she's kind of, it seems like Rhiannon's kind of upset that like Olive's getting to be more popular than she is,
right? Yeah. And then she just like outright says to Olive, yeah, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
And which, wow.
Yeah, I look, I don't know how female friendships work, but yeah, like I guess it can it can break up like that. Like, it's,
well, I guess also in high school, like, things get more dramatic in high school, I guess.
The drama.
Yeah.
I'm not friends with her anymore. She's not cool.
Yeah. And then, Olive, because she's getting this reputation, she's approached by another boy in high school, Evan, who's like this heavyset guy. The way he talks about himself and the way the others talk about him, they're talking about like he's morbidly obese or something. I'm just like, you're like a little chunky. That's it.
Yeah. Like maybe again, by California standards.
I don't know. So he's like, hey, Brandon told me what you did for him. And she's like, oh, yeah, I rocked his world. And he's like, no, he told me what you really did for him. And I was wondering if you can do the same for me, because he's not like a closeted gay guy. Well, I guess Brandon wasn't really closeted either. He was just like, I want to be straight so that I don't have to suffer all this crap.
Yeah.
And Evan's like, yeah, if you can do the same for me, and I'll give you a $100 gift card if you let me tell people that I went to second base with you. So,
Yeah, and like Olive is like, I don't know about this. This feels, I don't feel comfortable doing that. And then Evan kind of turns a little bit, saying, "Well, I don't actually have to get your permission. I can still tell everybody, and everybody will kind of believe me because they already believe that you're, you know, kind of this sleep around Sally." So that's where Olive's like, "What the fuck? What?" And you know, then he kind of takes it back, and then he kind of feels bad for himself. He's like, "Oh, I knew this wouldn't work. I'm a fat piece of shit."
And
he eats a
Milky Way. Really starts to spiral quickly.
Yeah, he just eats a Milky Way bar at the pool. Just like, "Oh, I'm fat."
Like, "No woman will ever want me." That's him eating a candy bar.
Yeah, that's not. I don't know what that sounded like.
Yeah, it sounded like something else, possibly. But
possibly.
Yeah. So now the rumor is that she's soliciting sex for money. That spreads around the school.
Yeah,
and she's doing this, but she's getting like gift cards and coupons as payment.
Yeah,
from a variety of stores.
Yeah, like Best Buy and Bed Body Works. Like she's getting all this.
I wonder if this is like paid product placement.
Possibly. Like, but then again, would you want to be like Office Max? You can use our gift cards for false sexual favors.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'd be interested in hearing that. So anyway, Mr. Griffith, the cool teacher played by Thomas Hayden Church, he hears the rumors about Olive, and he kind of confronts her about it, and he's like, "What's going on? I know this isn't really you."
But again, as a cool guy, cool teacher, he actually apologizes for sending her to the principal's office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he admits, "Yeah, I'm not crazy about Nina either. She's kind of
the girl you called a twat."
Yes, girl that called you a twat. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, not a fan. And if anyone asks you about this, I will deny it. But yeah, no. You were right to call her that.
Yeah. That I always like little moments like that where teachers kind of drop the facade of being a teacher and just talk to, you know, the students. Like, "Hey, let me rap to you, kid. Like, let me tell you." Like, you know.
Right.
Like them bonding over their hatred over a student.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I'm like, all right.
It is kind of cool. And yeah, he's a believable, cool teacher. And we find out that he's also married to the school's guidance counselor, Mrs. Griffiths, played by Lisa Kudrow, who I completely forgotten was in this movie.
Same. Totally forgot.
Yeah. I was like, you're just watching this movie and like we're like halfway through. We're like, "Oh, okay, well, we got all our characters now. We're not going to be meeting anybody new." And then, suddenly Lisa Kudrow.
That's right. We see that they seem to have a pretty good marriage and relationship. And, you know, I think she says, "Oh, I have to work late. You know, some kid bought a knife in the school." You know, it was a butter knife, but still, you know, it's a gateway knife.
Right.
So
she has a talk with Olive, Mrs. Griffith does, and she's like, "Oh, well, I'll give you these condoms, you know, because you need to practice safe sex." And Olive's like, "No, all right, I don't need these." And she's like, "No, you really do."
Right.
Wrap
it up.
Yeah. Because she's like, you know, "Hey, the pill is only like 99% effective and..."
Right. So then after Olive talks to, the guidance counselor, Lisa Kudrow, we see Marianne, the Jesus freak, her older boyfriend, who's still in high school, even though he's like 21, 22. 22,
they said. Yeah. He's been like held back four times. And she's like, "If God wanted him to pass his exams, they would have given him the right answers."
That's a pretty funny line.
Yeah.
It's God's will that he's in his early 20s and still in high school.
Right.
It's like, all right.
And so, you know, all the super religious students, they're of course, you know, they've got the purity rings and all that. They're taking pledges to not have sex until marriage. But Micah, who's like basically her boyfriend, it turns out he has chlamydia.
Yeah, because I think, like, after... Because after Micah went into the counselor, like Marianne was kind of freaking out, and like Olive consoles her, so they become friends for a little bit. She apologizes for everything she said and done to her, so they're friendly. They're friends
for like a day.
A day, yeah. Again, the female friendships. It's just It's a roller coaster.
We got to take a lot of notes on this. And we find out, and yeah, Micah's not feeling well. He goes to the doctor. He finds out he has chlamydia.
Yikes.
And then, yeah, the mother is like, of course, enraged. And she's like, oh, you know, what happened? And Micah says, I got it from Olive because, you know, she's been sleeping with everybody. So, of course, it's believable that she has chlamydia. But then we see him on the phone with the person he actually got it from, and dun dun dun, it's Mrs. Griffith.
That genuinely, I totally forgot about that. I
totally forgot about the subplot.
She
seems so nice on Friends.
Yeah.
And
I thought they would have gone the route like, oh, maybe he's secretly gay and he got it from a guy, but like, I did not expect them to, he slept with the married guidance counselor.
Oh, this was actually a crime. Okay. It is a crime because he's a student. It's not a crime because he's a minor.
They repeat that a lot.
They do. I guess they want to make sure that we understand that.
Yeah, because when Lisa Kudrow freaks out over what Micah told him, and Olive comes into her office and she kind of confesses everything to her. And he's like, it's not a crime. I looked it up. He's 21, or he's going to be 22.
Yeah.
It's age appropriate. I just slept with a student who happens to be of age.
Right.
And so it's. I guess it's not a crime, but it's definitely fucked up.
I guess, but still, at the very least, really sketchy. Because
you're
a guidance counselor at the school. You're sleeping with a student at the school. I feel like that's frowned upon.
I frown upon all of that.
Haven't read up on all the statutes and all that, but...
Yeah. Big old frown.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, occasionally you might hear about a teacher or somebody dating a former student after they graduate, and you're just tugging your collar.
As far as...
technically legal and okay, but it's still like,
It's like, yeah, it does reek of... The teacher is like, oh, I'll bide my time, and then
it does feel like very much grooming.
Yeah, I never heard stories about that in my high school, but like I think I know a few people that have.
And
it's like, oh, yikes!
And also, there's like the double standard when it's like a female teacher and a male student, because it's not
seen as bad, but it is as bad.
It is as bad. Yeah, there shouldn't be a double standard there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so. Olive, at first, like, she finds out about this, like, she's like, looking in on Mrs. Griffith, because she's looking for Marianne, because, like, Marianne just, like, ups and slaps her in the middle of the day, and Olive has no idea why.
What was that about? Hey.
Yeah. And then she finds out that Mrs. Griffith has slept with Micah, and that's how he got chlamydia, because she has chlamydia, which...
How does she
God get knows chlamydia? Where she got it from.
Damn, she is out here.
Yeah.
Woo!
She's,
Mr. Griffith, Thomas Hayden Church, get yourself checked out.
Yeah, well, I mean, they also make a point of saying that Mrs. Griffith and Mr. Griffith haven't slept together in months.
Oh, okay, so she got it.
I think the implication is that he does not have it, and then she just recently got it.
Okay,
I guess. I don't know.
Some random dick.
Yeah. And for a hot minute, Olive is like, okay, I'll pretend I have chlamydia.
Yes,
because Olive's such a people pleaser, I guess.
Yeah, she's really turning into a martyr at this point.
Yeah. So
yes, I will carry your burden. I will carry your chlamydia burden.
And so now there are actual student protests against Olive. Her former best friend Rhiannon has joined in on those, and they are like, holding up signs protesting her. And there's also a Quiznos guy.
Remember Quiznos?
I do. I enjoyed the Quiznos.
They're good. They were really good.
Like, are they still around or did they close down?
I want to say they closed down. There might be one or two open. But I remember they were around. Like, they were giving Subway a run for their money for a little bit.
They were.
The toasted bread was pretty tasty.
I miss Quiznos, so I'm not sure if they're closed down or if I'm just not close to anyone anymore. I really miss Boston Market. Boston Market is like one of my go-to fast food places. When we were recording in the studio together, I would stop off at Boston Market on my way home from that. That would be like my little once-a-week treat.
Yeah, no, Boston Market was the shit. It was like a homemade meal. Exactly. For low, low prices.
There's a place you could get a good Thanksgiving dinner at. Yeah.
Now you're cooking with gas. That's what's up.
Yeah. And Boston Market, gone, because damn, you can't have nice things.
Ugh. Listeners, let us know what your favorite defunct restaurant is.
Yes. We want to know. So all of, because like one of the signs against her says like Exodus, I forget the chapters. I didn't write them down, but it's like, you know, the condemning adultery.
Ezekiel 25:17.
Exactly. The path of the righteous man.
I knew you'd get that reference, John. I just knew it. Thank
Pulp Fiction. Come on. I was a 20-year-old when that came out. Yeah. I don't know. I was nuts about Pulp Fiction.
Okay. There we go. I don't know. Sometimes some people don't.
There's bad people. Horrible people.
Bad people. All right. So Quiznos is still around, but yeah, nice. There aren't. The closest one here is in Maryland. And then there's a.
Well, that's no good.
There's a few in Ontario, if you want to go there.
All right. There's a bunch of deliver.
No,
I don't think there are any Boston markets left, though.
I think Boston market is gone. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's just what a shame. Anyway, so Olive decides to investigate the Bible first, not the Ezekiel 25:17, the Exodus one. And she like looks up the Bible. And they're like, oh, it's a bestseller. It's right next to Twilight. That's cute.
Nice.
And then she goes to a church. She decides to talk to a pastor, and it's Fred Armisen.
Yeah,
random Fred Armisen in this movie.
Yeah, he just kind of pops up. He's like, "Hey,"
pops up, and he's like, "Hey, Fred Armisen, can I recommend some indie rock bands to you?
Have you heard this new Wilco album?"
And while she's talking to, you know, cool priest Fred Armisen, she sees on his desk there's like a picture of him with his family. And his daughter is actually Marianne. His daughter is Amanda Bynes.
Oof.
And they must have cast the wife very, very carefully to make it plausible that Amanda Bynes could be Fred Armisen's daughter.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of resemblance there, I'm just saying.
No, not at all. I don't know. I look at those pictures on his desk. They look pretty badly photoshopped. I don't know. They look
very photoshopped. Yeah. I don't know why we couldn't just take a picture of Fred Armisen with a pretty blonde lady and Amanda Bynes.
But I don't know. We're on a tight schedule. We just couldn't do it.
I guess so. Yeah, but he's got this Elizabeth Banks looking wife to just try to make it plausible. So
it's like, all right, I'll go along with this plot movie.
Yeah, yeah, and so, you know, all the lies and the rumors, they're getting really out of control.
Yeah, her parents are more concerned about her because, like, you know, they say she's been kind of dressing like a stripper, but, you know, a high-end stripper, like for governors and athletes.
Yeah, I love that. Well, that's one of the best lines in the movie.
A high-end
stripper, yeah. Yeah, because she's wearing, like, basically like a lot of bustiers with the red A. So,
yeah.
Quite a difference in her look.
Right. And, she feels very alone in this moment. And, like, mm-hmm. she also points out that, like, how all the boys, like, were so busy, you know, giving her gift cards just to say that they slept with her, that guys, no one's actually asked her out and actually tried to sleep with her. Like, no one's.
Right. Yeah. Actually, so she's kind of a pariah at school. She's like eating lunch by herself. And this one guy comes over and he like legit asks her out.
Yeah.
And he seems charming and nice and he seems to like actually like her. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy Anson, who I guess they kind of touched on it, but like her friend Rihanna had a crush on him for forever.
Right.
Like, you know, now that they're not friends, he's like, all right, like, yeah, I guess we could go out. You seem charming enough.
Yes, that's okay. They go out to the Lobster Shack.
Classy.
Because they're classy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's at first, it's kind of awkward between them. They're not really saying much. So, like, she has to sort of overcompensate by talking about lobster being an aphrodisiac and just, you know, just nervous lobster.
I've never
talk.
Heard that about lobster. I've heard that about oysters.
Yes, that's I've heard.
I feel like there are other foods that are supposed to be aphrodisiacs, but I'll be damned if I can remember what they are.
I mean, chocolate definitely is up there.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But I don't know. Lobster, I've tried lobster. It's all right, but without butter, it's nothing. I think I just like butter. You know, I think it's just one of those.
Butter's the aphrodisiac. Okay.
Yeah. It's like people say, like lobster is super expensive.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it costs all this money, but you got to dunk it in tons and tons of butter.
It's a lot of work.
for it to be edible.
You got to get that little cracker thing that's like a pair of pliers.
It's just like all this work for this like mediocre meat inside that you got to dunk in butter. Just eat some butter.
Well, I'm not going to go so far as to say it's mediocre. Like the lobster, but
I'm sorry. I'm team shrimp. Shrimp is where it's at. Shrimp and scallops. That's
shrimp is freaking amazing.
Yes. There we go. All right.
Shrimp,
see.
Yeah, I am hashtag team shrimp. Absolutely.
On that we can agree, sir.
Yes, I mean, if we're talking the entire spectrum of shellfish, yes, shrimp is the best.
Shrimp, scallops, salmon. I'll eat a salmon up in a heartbeat.
Salmon's good. Yeah,
that's what's up.
I just enjoy seafood in general. Yeah.
Interesting. I did not know that about you, sir.
I never got into the habit of eating seafood in a big, big way because my mom never liked seafood. She didn't like eating it, and she really didn't like preparing it. Mm. So we never ate seafood much. Okay. In my house. And every once in a while, I'm like, hey, I like seafood. I can have seafood. And then I go and have seafood. But it's just, I never had that habit instilled, you know, because my mom never liked seafood. So we never made it.
You never had that halibut?
Never got into the halibut.
Waka waka.
Yeah, thank you, Fozzie.
Kermit.
Okay, so anyway, they're at the lobster shack. They're having a lovely lobster dinner, you know, because they're classy.
Yeah.
And she realizes that Woodchuck Todd also works there, who's the guy she liked, the Seven Men's in Heaven guy, who's also the school mascot guy, former Blue Devil, now Woodchuck. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And she also realizes that Rhiannon is there, and she's like, oh, geez, I'm with the guy that Rhiannon liked. So. Right.
So it's like, we got to get out of here. So they.
This is bad news. Yeah.
Yeah. So they do quickly. Sweet. Yeah. Immediately. They do quickly leave, but not before Rhianna sees them and Oliver sees Rhianna and the two of them lock eyes.
Rhiannon. It's not Rhianna.
Oh, it's not the Caribbean singer. It's.
No. She's not like, you know, if you liked it, you should have put a ring on it.
Yes. You know. That's Beyonce.
Oh, God. Why did I mix those?
Oh, God.
Why did I make that mistake?
Caught you being racist on the mic. Gotcha.
Damn it.
That's right.
Racist and out of touch with pop music.
That's right.
I know the difference between Rihanna and Beyonce, but I made that mistake with such confidence.
Gotcha.
Damn it.
You've just been Pattersoned.
Damn it.
But yes, she's... Olive and Rhiannon see each other, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
This was entrapment. You know, if you hadn't said Rihanna instead of Rhiannon, I wouldn't have, my racism wouldn't have been exposed.
Yeah. Yes, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's Rhiannon, like the Fleetwood Mac song. And like the two of them lock eyes, so a lot's being said right there. And, you know, she still feels bad about going out with Rhiannon's crush. So Anson and Oliver are still talking in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where Anson, the guy, gives her a $200 Home Depot gift card.
Right.
It's like, because he's thoughtful. Yeah, it's like, you know, you can get yourself some plywood and things there. And, like, that's where Olive realizes what this date really is. She's like,
And then he tries to, you know, basically like he starts getting fresh with her. He's trying to force himself on her. He's like he's getting handsy.
I mean, it doesn't get super, you know, aggressive, but
you can tell what his expectations are. He's like, hey, yeah. I gave you this $200 gift card for Home Depot. Therefore, now you have to.
That's right. I got you cork, bitch. I got you cork money.
She like fends him off, and then like Todd is out there in the parking lot. He sees this and he's like, hey, let me drive you home.
Right. Knight in shining armor.
Yeah.
So like they drive home, she cries and, you know, like, you know, he comforts her like,
yeah.
And, you know, of course he knows what the word is around the school about what she's been up to, but he chooses not to believe it and get into affairs like that. And, you know, he knows the person she really is. And, you know, then the two of them kind of admit that they kind of had feelings for each other forever. Mm-hmm. And how, like, yeah, I kind of did. I kind of wished I did kiss you in that Seven Minutes in Heaven. And my first kiss actually ended up being Rhiannon. And that's where Olive gets upset because, like, oh, she knew how I feel about you. What did she kiss you for? And then he's like, wait, feel? You said feel? And it's like, oh, felt. I meant felt.
Yeah, yeah. This whole thing. And then he's like, hey, could I kiss you? And she's like, not like this because I want it to be perfect. And I'm like all sobby with my mascara running and stuff. And yeah.
Yeah. So it's basically like, I feel like a scene like that would have been good, like sort of maybe earlier in the movie to establish that rapport. But I mean, they kind of touch on it here and there, but like, I feel like, I mean, yeah, I said before,
he's just sort of in and out of the movie before that. And yeah, we don't really get what he's about until this scene. So yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So at this point, Olive can't take any more. So she decides to come clean to everybody and just unburden herself of all these lies. She tries to look for Brandon, but apparently he left town. And he left a note saying, I'm gay, bitches. And he left with some black dude, according to some random woman on the street.
Yeah, because they have like a reference to Huck Finn.
Yeah.
Huckleberry Finn earlier. And apparently, according to the IMDb trivia, this is like sort of a modern day version of that. Because like, apparently there are some homosexual readings of Huck Finn. I have not read Huck Finn in years, so I'm not aware of this. But yeah.
It's been ages. Like I probably be read in like maybe junior high, and that was like the last time I read it.
Yeah, I read it when I was like 13 or 14. Saw the Broadway musical Big River.
But yeah, there's homosexual connotations in that book. I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's actual connotations that Mark Twain put in there, or if it's just like some people bringing their own thing to it. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So, but yeah, apparently Brandon skipped town and he's out. Of town, both ways.
So he went on a whole journey off screen.
Yeah. He came out and he went out.
Yes, yes. So Olive goes around to everyone. She says, like, hey, can you tell people the truth about me? This has just gone too far. And no one really wants to. Like, Evan, the heavyset guy, he's like, hey, do you know how many girls I've hooked up with since, you know, we had that story? And so, yeah, he doesn't want to give up his notoriety or attractiveness or whatever.
Yeah, Micah can't come forward because he was sent to Florida to stay with his grandparents and read the good book. And he's in Florida. That's punishment enough.
He's in Florida with chlamydia.
My God. I mean, it's Florida. I imagine at least a good portion of the population has chlamydia.
Who knows? Sure.
I'm among my people. Olive even talks to Miss Griffith saying, hey, do you mind coming forward to let people know the truth? And she doesn't want to do it either.
Right.
Because she's like, yeah, maybe you just kind of bear this burden, if that's cool.
Yeah, because she doesn't want her outside activities exposed. And yeah, Olive's narration is just like, oh, so Mrs. Griffith is pure evil. Okay. Yes. And so Olive then decides to go to Mr. Griffith and tell him the truth about his wife. I feel like if your wife has been sleeping around and has chlamydia, you should probably know about that. But Olive's not a medical professional, so it's not a HIPAA violation. So
that's true. And also in Olive's defense, as soon as she says it, it looks like she immediately regrets it and she apologizes. And in the webcam, because like throughout this whole movie, the webcam is acting as a narration.
Yeah.
But she even says, like, yeah, I really regret having told you that. Like, you deserve to know, but I shouldn't have been the one to tell you in that way. And I'm sorry because what I said ended a marriage, and that was fucked up with me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So
she does.
Yeah, the whole movie is narrated by Olive via webcam, and she's just kind of talking about how, like, I tried to do this good thing for somebody, and it just snowballed out of control, and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And,
So then Olive decides to tell her mom about everything. Her mom, being the cool mom she is, she's very understanding. Mm-hmm. She can relate. She, you know, she had a reputation of being a good what's another word I can use? I've already used sleep around Sally. Hussy, maybe?
Hussy. I don't think we've used hussy.
There we go. Sure. Hussy. She was known as being a bit of a hussy in her time.
Yeah.
She was able to get through it. But she says, like, you're smarter than I was. And so I know you'll get through it. And, you know, it's a nice little moment. Mm-hmm. And so Olive decides at the next pep rally to, you know, during the big performance with the cheerleaders, she comes out and, you know, in her another bustier and mm-hmm. sings the song Knock on Wood to this choreographed dance while Todd helps her, you know, with it too. So we get this whole little musical
out of nowhere.
It kind of is. It felt kind of out of place. I will say that.
Well, and also because it's like I don't think that's Emma Stone's voice at all.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It sounded very dubbed. It didn't. Yeah. And I'm just like, what? How do you logistically? How do you do this? And like at one point, she rips off the woodchuck outfit for Todd, and for some reason he still has his Blue Devil body makeup on, even though they changed the mascot like at least weeks ago. So I'm like, wait, why are you still doing the Blue Devil body makeup underneath the woodchuck outfit when no one is going to see that?
When you're a Blue Devil, you're a Blue Devil all the way, baby.
From your first cigarette to your last dying day.
That's right. That's how the song goes. And but yeah, so as she performs the song in front of the whole school, she says, hey. And she's very flirty with Todd. And she's like, she says, hey, everybody, go check out my website at 6 o'clock tonight if you want to see me get it
all.
She
kind of implies something sexual is going to happen. Yeah.
Exactly. And of course, the principal, Principal Droog, comes out saying, you know.
Malcolm McDowell is like, no, that's inappropriate.
Yeah. But yeah. And then,
she's like playing 17, right? Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
It's just now sinking in, like, oh, yeah, that's kind of wrong to even imply that you're doing that.
Kind of?
Yeah, yeah.
It is, yeah. And
I mean, it's a movie, so I'll give them a little leeway, but oh, my goodness. Yeah, I have no idea what the age of consent is for California, and I'm not about to Google that, but...
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so...
I assume it's 18. I'll just assume that.
I'm not going to Google it because I don't want to get a call from FBI.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, I don't need people banging down my door.
Yeah.
Open up in there!
Yeah.
Like, no one needs that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then we...
Happy age plus 7 years. That's a rule, right?
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be the appropriate age? Anyway. All
right. I go my age, sir, because I'm...
Okay, all
right. I don't know who's listening to this, John. I don't...
Yeah, okay.
I can't go back to prison, John. You know that. You know that? I've made enemies. I can't go back.
I know. You don't need any more teardrop tattoos, sir.
Exactly. You get it.
Yeah. No. Darren did some time with Andy Rooney back in the day.
Yeah. The triads are waiting for me, John.
Anyway, so she has her whole big confession, and like the school watches it because they were like, oh, we thought we were going to see sex or nudity or something.
we thought we were going to see a total porn show. And
we thought there was going to be an American Pie thing. Is it not that kind of teen movie? No? Okay. Are we creeps? Yes? All right.
Okay. All right. I'll pull my pants back up and get back to work.
By the way, have you looked at American Pie lately? That first
one?
That is so. It's because they're like, oh, let's record this high school girl stripping on our webcam without her knowledge, and then like she gets sent away. She suffers the consequences. Guys, no consequence.
It's so
fucked up.
It's fucked up because I remember when that movie came out. Like I was able to get free passes for it.
Yeah.
I wrote for the college newspaper, and they gave me a ton of free passes.
Right.
So I was able to get me, some of my friends, a couple of people I worked with at the Virgin Megastore came too. I think I got like 10 people in to this.
This story is so 1999. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. We all got passes and I got everybody in.
We got a Virgin Megastore in there. We're going to American Pie movie.
And I remember us all loving the movie and laughing hard. But
And you walked out and you're probably like, hey, wasn't that great how there was absolutely nothing wrong with that entire sequence?
It was nothing at all wrong with that. And like I've watched it recently and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
It's like,
oh my.
Oh, it's so creepy. I guess it's good that society has changed that much that we now realize that that's super wrong and creepy, even for like a comedy. But
yeah.
Holy cow.
We're advancing. We're getting there.
Incrementally.
We're slowly getting there.
We'll
get there by 2050, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
In my lifetime?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah. So she finishes her webcam thing. Todd comes out and he's doing the, like she talks earlier in the movie about how she wishes her life was like an 80s teen movie.
Yeah. Like a Lloyd Dobler.
Yeah.
Or
Patrick Dempsey in Can't Buy Me Love.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
the same community. Oh, you want to love Don't Cost a Thing Her. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So as she confesses everything, what happened, she apologized to everybody. We see that Todd is waiting for her downstairs playing the classic Don't You Forget About Me.
Right.
And over some, like, you know, iPod speakers while he's on a riding lawnmower.
Like Patrick Dempsey at the end of Can't Buy Me Love.
Like Patrick Dempsey. I got to see Can't Buy Me Love. I don't think I've ever seen that one.
I saw it back in the day, and it's kind of similar to this movie in that Patrick Dempsey is like a high school. He's a high school loser, never made it with ladies till the boys told him something he missed.
And
he goes to the super popular girl in the school, and I can't remember the actress's name. I apologize for that. And he's like, "Hey, I will pay you all this money I earned mowing lawns over the summer." And he's like, mowed her family's lawn too, because she's like a rich girl.
Okay.
And he's like, if you pretend to be my girlfriend for however long, and then I get popular.
Oh, so it's kind of interesting. So this is kind of like this movie.
And you know, real feelings happen.
Oh. You know,
so like the end of the movie, it's like they end up together.
Nice. Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie in ages, so I don't remember if they are actually horrible people. It was made in the 80s, so I'm going to assume yes.
Okay.
Because...
Yeah,
you know, when you go back and watch most of like teen comedies from the 80s, they are horrifying in retrospect.
Yeah, don't.
It's like Revenge of the Nerds. It's like, oh my god!
Yikes! Yikes on bikes.
Yeah.
But yeah, the lead in that movie was Amanda Peterson.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so like as Todd is waiting downstairs for her, you know, she tells everybody on the webcast, like, I'm going to go hang out with Todd. I really like him. I might lose my virginity to him, you know, today.
5 minutes from now, or tonight, or maybe years from now. I don't know, but it's my choice and it's nobody else's business.
Yes. So she goes, runs into his arms, kisses him. We see that she actually texts Rhiannon saying, yeah, I'm sorry I lied to you. So there's hope of them rekindling their friendship.
Yeah.
And then they ride off into the sunset on a lawnmower. While some modern crappy version of "Don't You Forget About Me" plays,
yeah, it's not good.
No, not at all. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's an awful, awful cover. Don't know who did the cover. They should be ashamed of themselves.
It sounds like like a Good Charlotte, like that late '90s, you know, punk pop, you know, like "Don't You Forget About Me." Like it's just like, Christ, don't get it out.
Yeah,
don't like it.
Yeah, Not good. But, I mean, I do enjoy the movie overall, I think, largely because of Emma Stone.
Yes. I think it's a good movie. There's some good lines in here, some good writing.
Yeah, there's some genuinely witty stuff in there.
Yeah, but, like, I think there's a reason why this is the movie where, like, people saw this and saw, like, oh, she's a star. She's a movie star. Because, like, she really does carry this film on her shoulders. Like, everybody else in the movie is good. Everybody else is fine, but like,
but Emma Stone's in practically every scene.
She's charismatic. She's funny when she needs to be. She has like great comedic timing. She can also
easy on the eyes.
Hey now, ooh la la, and she's good at the dramatic roles, and you really feel for her. And she's like after this movie is like, yeah, of course, put her in everything. She's a fucking. She fucking rocks it.
Yeah.
I would recommend this film, I'd say, to anybody who haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good one.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it the first time I saw it. I enjoyed it this time around. I don't know when I'm going to revisit it again. I don't think it's going to go in my regular rotation or anything, but, you know, it's a fun movie.
It's a fun movie. And in the end, isn't that what you want from your movies?
Really? No, it just I just want a fun movie. I just want to escape for a couple hours.
I just want to laugh. I just want to laugh.
That's so wrong.
Is that so wrong? But yeah, that's our film. Easy A. Easy A. It's a good film. Good film. And I mean, I think normally we'd go to our Blue Sky, but I don't see any.
No, we got some comments on the Blue Sky.
We did. What the fuck? Wait a minute. Hold the phone.
Yeah. Hit refresh, my friend.
Oh shit. All right. We did. All right. My mistake. We did.
Okay. So from SNL Ladies at Blue Sky .social just says, ooh, looking forward to this, guys. Love this movie. This is Shari, by the way, just in disguise. Well, I mean, that disguise probably would have worked better if you hadn't outright told us who you are, but okay. But thank you. Hope we fulfilled your expectations.
Thank you. And Stephen M. says, I wish she was in more comedies. Cruella, eh?
No, I think he's saying Cruella, eh.
Oh, eh. All right. I thought he was like.
I think that's an eh. I don't think he's going Canadian on it.
Okay. Is he from Toronto? Is that why he's talking like that?
It was like one of the McKenzie brothers reviewing Cruella. Cruella, eh?
Cruella, eh?
Yeah, I never saw Cruella, so I don't know if that was good. Did she do a sequel to that? Did they make a second one of those?
I feel like they did.
I feel like there was a sequel, yeah.
But yeah, I didn't see Cruella either, but I heard it was good. Like, it looked kind of iffy,
but...
It was
like one of those origin movies, right?
Yeah, I think that's why I didn't see it. It's like, all right, so we get the origin story for the villain of 101 Dalmatians. I don't really need that. Why would I need that? No.
Yeah.
But it's Emma Stone, and Emma Stone knocks it out the park constantly. So maybe I'll give it a look.
Yeah, I don't doubt that she's great in it. I just don't. I don't really like those origin movies. I don't really need a Joker origin movie. I don't really need an origin movie about Willy Wonka. Sometimes you just want to see a cool character, and you don't have to know every little step of the way of where they get to. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they did that origin story for Mufasa from The Lion King. It's like, why do we need
this? Don't need that.
Do you need more money, Disney? Is that the problem? Are you are you not flush with cash, Disney?
Yeah. And let's see. Lastly, Nat Gertier, comics thing doer, says, young Emma holds her own in scenes with Stanley Tucci and Patricia Clarkson, two excellent actors who know how to use up all of the camera. And yeah, that's true. Yeah.
She's
going up against some veterans, some professional scene stealers there. And yeah, she does quite well for herself.
She was absolutely holding her own. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
And Easy A, give it a look-see. I thought it was like an underrated class, but it seems like a lot more people liked it than I thought. So hooray.
Yeah. I think it's at the very least like a cult film. I mean, I think it's still well regarded today. So
I would say so. Yeah. Okay. Cool. And that's the episode, guys. Thanks.
Yep.
What was that? Whoa.
Sorry. I hit the table a little bit.
I thought like you fell down or something. I was like, oh my god.
I fell down some stairs.
Oh god. I've fallen.
I'm leaving this episode in traction.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah, I guess that did make a lot of noise. Sorry about that.
That's okay. But yeah, that's the episode, guys. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. As always, you could follow us on the social medias at SNL Nerds, The Blue Sky. You could follow me, myself, and I on all the socials at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible. And oh yeah, you can listen to this on the YouTubes. Go to the YouTube page and donate to our Patreon, non-productive.com.
Yeah, the YouTube page, it's got the archive of the entire podcast, so you can listen to every episode that we've been doing for the last 8 years now. Oh, my goodness.
Good God.
And we've covered lots of episodes of SNL, several seasons worth, and lots of movies starring SNL alums, like this week with Fred Armisen, who's in, like, one scene or two scenes. He's in there again. We see him watching the webcam show. It's like...
Yeah.
So, but you know, Fred Armisen, I'm sure he was on set for like a day.
Yeah. Like he's only in like that one room.
Yeah. I think you suggested this movie to me and I was like, really? There's an SNL alum in that? And you're like, yeah, Fred Armisen's in that. And I'm like, okay, if you say so, sir. And we were originally going to do this as like a back to school thing. And then Robert Redford was rude enough to die. Then, so, you know, we were like, well, it's Robert Redford. Let's do a whole tribute episode to him.
Indeed.
Sneakers. So we're finally getting back to Easy A. So hope you enjoyed. Hope it was worth the wait.
Subject. And yet, where can the people follow on you, good sir?
Oh, they can follow me at Trumbull Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic. That's on Blue Sky, on Instagram, on Letterboxd, and that's about it, really. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Should we tell the people what we're going to do next on Thanksgiving weekend?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's going to be out after Thanksgiving. But
oh, that's right. Yeah.
Us, we're recording it on Thanksgiving weekend.
We're recording on Thanksgiving. Yes.
Yes. But that will be out the Tuesday after Thanksgiving for everyone else. So. Why are you talking about Thanksgiving? It's like, yeah.
Yeah. So mostly, usually during the Thanksgiving holiday, we'll do a movie that Thanksgiving related or has Thanksgiving themes and an SNL alum. But this time, we're going to switch things up. This time, we're going to put The Give in Thanksgiving. And we're going to take a request we got from one of our fine listeners.
Yeah, it is something that stars an SNL alum, though. That's why it was suggested to us.
Yes, that is true. This film stars Pamela Stevenson, who was an SNL cast member. And in all honesty, we probably should have done this when we did that whole Superman retrospective this last summer.
Yes. But we have a very good reason that we didn't do it. And that is, we did not think of it.
So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was this
suggested to me on my personal Blue Sky page or on the SNL Nerds? Because I'm not finding it right now. And I'm trying to look up who it was that suggested it to us.
Let me
switch accounts and see if I can find it on mine.
Okay. But we're doing it. We're doing the infamous Superman 3 from 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Film. I mean, with the great Christopher Reeve, the late great Richard Pryor, Annette O'Toole, Pamela Stevenson, as we said before, Robert
Vaughn,
Robert Vaughn, and Margot Kidder. This film, like, I'm not a huge Superman guy. I know, you know, Trumbull, you're our Superman expert, and I know this film is maligned by some, loved by others, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, just found out who suggested that to us. That was our friend John Anias at Burtonesque at bluesky.social.
Yes, so, Anias, what's up?
Yes, he says, you haven't covered Superman 3 on the old SNL Nerds, have you? I just remembered that one has an SNL alum, though not at the time, in its cast, Pamela Stevenson. Rough movie, but the soup's well might not be dry yet. So, yeah. Mm. And I was like, oh, holy crap, you're right. You're right. Because, you know, I kind of forgot because Pamela Stevenson wasn't, I wasn't watching SNL quite yet in 1984, 1985. So kind of forgot about Pamela Stevenson. And so.
Okay. We're doing a Superman 3. So, like, I know people, Superman 3. Do people, I'll let you let me know what you think. Like, is this the one where people are like starting to turn on the Superman movies? So people say the third one is the worst.
I think that's fair. Yeah, yeah.
Some people say the third one is the worst one. Some people say the fourth one was the worst one. So what are your thoughts on that?
They're both bad.
All right,
they are both bad. They're each bad in their own way. Superman 3 has its moments.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll get into it. It's been years since I've watched Superman 3 from beginning to end, so it'll be interesting to revisit it. Because, like, just to let you know where I'm coming from, Superman the movie, the first Christopher Reeve Superman movie, that is, like, my all-time favorite movie. That's the movie that made me fall in love with movies. So, like, so much of my Superman fandom comes from that.
And I've heard Superman 2 is okay.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
And then
we'll get into it. There's a lot to get into the history of the Superman movies.
Okay, all right. I'll save it all for next week. Save it all.
Yeah, and I'll talk your ear off all about that then, and you'll just be like, John, this is way more detailed than I wanted, and I'm like, you asked, Darren Patterson, you asked.
We're at hour three, John. Can we please wrap it up?
No, we cannot.
Damn it, I have a diatribe and I will say it. Oh.
exactly. So yeah, there's a lot of history there. Yeah, this is, I'm looking forward to it and dreading it in equal measure, because it's, yeah, it's a whole nother era of superhero movies when we made Superman 3. It's wild. It's a wild ride.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I think I've seen it in the past, but like in bits and pieces, but I don't remember a lot of it. I just remember like Richard Pryor behind a computer.
That's a good part of the movie. Yeah. Okay. Lots of Richard Pryor and behind a computer. He skis off a building at one point.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a wild movie.
All right. Is this isn't the one where the woman gets like sucked into the computer and turned into like, it is that one?
Yep.
Oh shit. That's nightmare fuel. Oh no.
That gave a lot of kids nightmares in the early 80s. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Jesus Christ. Oh boy. All right.
Yeah.
We're doing this for you, Anais. You better, you better like it.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. It gets very goofy.
Oh boy. All right.
All right.
Superman.
Christopher Reeve, Richard Pryor, Pamela Stevenson.
I regret it already.
I know. I'm looking forward to and dreading this in equal measure. So we'll see which side wins out.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. It's going to be fun. So join us then for Superman 3. But until then,
nerds out!
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.